And we meet again. It is lovely to have your company. Yeah, sometimes I hear it too. I'm sorry. It's great that you're here. Welcome to It's Your Call. I am your host, John Milkey. Where's my camera? My camera's over there. I'm looking at the very bright light that is over here. That, if you're listening to the radio, makes no sense at all. Anyway, I'm looking at all the wrong places. I still, you know what, all these years, it's been 8 years since we launched BlastTheRadio.com. I've been streaming video pretty much every day since. I still don't know where to look for the camera. It's just, it's a weird thing as a career radio broadcaster to even have to think about a camera. Anyway, hi, welcome to It's Your Call. Let me see, who is here? It's Roll Call. Laurentian View Terry was hoping that we'd be streaming on Twitch. We are. We do. Mahati, hello. Kath, hello. Chrissy, hello. Lisa, hi. All right. Chris, congratulations, John, for what? Okay. Anyway, thank you, I guess. Oh, for 8 years? Yes, thank you. Listen, it's another anniversary of sorts. Oh, first off, to our listeners who listen on blasttheradio.com, I know for the longest time, November and a lot of December, there was just like obscene noise. It was just like this constant fluttery, yucky. I think we got that resolved over the holidays. Because I can't hear the on-air. See, this is the thing with internet radio, right? Like AM, FM, it's the moment you say it is the moment you hear it right back in your headphones. It's live. Internet radio, there's a delay, even on the computer in my studio, right? So I don't get to monitor the radio feed. If it's not behaving, could you please just shoot me a note, 613-604-6464, and let me know. But that upgrade should make listening on the app and on the radio stream a lot better. Laurentian View Terry is laughing at my 5 o'clock shadow. Terry, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But you know what? I've just been lazy. I'm back to burning the candle at both ends, and the idea of just, you know, the time to take, you know, out of my day and shave, and it's making me miserable. I hate it. I hate it. Although it came in very, very handy for me because I was looking at Duran Duran's performance on New Year's Eve. They were in New York City, and Simon Le Bon, their lead singer, I'm looking at him going, you know, I kind of look like that dude. And so I did like a side-by-side comparison, and he had a bit of the 5 o'clock shadow going on, and I'm like, I kind of do, which is awesome, because I know that, you know, listen, back in high school, who didn't want to look like the guys in Duran Duran? So there's that. Let me see. Hein is with us. Happy New Year to you, too. Lori says, I look cool. I appreciate that. Hello, I love you, says Colleen. Rawr, all right. Listen, here's my number. 613-604-6464. You can also find a camera link. So if you want to appear via video cam or turn the camera off and just be heard via the video link, you can do that as well. So if you go to itsyourcall.ca, itsyourcall.ca. So yes, it's another anniversary of sorts. This is what I want to get into today. Your memories of the ice storm. Begin with your comments on social media. Text in with your comments. Your memories of the ice storm. January 4th, 1998. That is when the ice storm began. Now, if you're listening in parts beyond Ontario and Quebec and some of the Maritimes, New Brunswick, most specifically, the ice storm is probably not something that you remember. But boy, for those of us in Ontario, it was quite the thing. I just remember pretty much living in the radio station. We're talking 1998. Not everyone had cell phones in 1998. The internet was still relatively new in 1998. It was a different world then. And radio, AM, FM especially, was a lifeline for people who really bore the brunt of just a nasty, nasty ice storm that brought power lines down, trees crashing to the ground. 650,000 people in Quebec and Ontario lost power on day one. I remember my house, for some reason, we had a couple of blackouts, like an hour or two, maybe. Lisa, you don't need to tell us that you were 25. Lisa's in the comments. Oh, my God, I was 25. You don't need to do the math. In 1998. Anyway, 85 millimeters of ice is what it amounted to in Ottawa. 100 millimeters of ice in Montreal. That's more than had ever been documented or seen before. What are your memories of the ice storm that began this day in 1998? 613-604-6464. You can post your comments on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube as well, and we'll pop those up on the screen. As time went on during the ice storm, almost 1.4 million customers in Quebec, 232,000 in Ontario would lose power. And it was cold. I remember, like we've been mild the last few days. It was cold. By the end of it, a lot of our rural friends in the Ottawa area, they were 33 days, some of them without power. Can you imagine? Like, we just went through, we had a tornado go through here a few years ago. Ironically, destroyed a lot of the homes in the neighborhood I grew up in. Not the home that I grew up in, but like directly behind us. Yeah, that one's gone. All the trees in that neighborhood gone. We got nailed by what was called a derecho this past May, which was like a tornado. My home, where I'm broadcasting from, was affected by that. But, you know, we had power out for, 4 days maybe, maximum. 33 days, a lot of rural residents were without power, 1998. 613-604-6464, looking for your memories of the ice storm, which began this day in 1998. It was deadly as well, 35 deaths by fire, hypothermia, falling ice, carbon monoxide poisoning. People doing things like putting the barbecue inside, running generators inside. Please don't ever do that, by the way. Run an extension cord through the door. Be safe about it. Read the manual. That helps. A report released later in 1998 by the Institute for Catastrophic Loss Reduction reported the ice storm produced the largest estimated insurance loss in the history of Canada, $1.44 billion. Laurie remembers sitting under candles in Barde, now known as PSP, decided to crawl to our cars to get home. No power when we got home. Yeah. Yeah, the walking was fun, interesting, challenging. Just the whole getting around. Didn't they shut down OC Transpo as well? Because, I mean, it was sheer ice everywhere, not to mention trees and branches. Oh, the sound of branches and trees cracking. I mean, it's a horrific sound. When that's, you know, a dry environment, but then you add like 85 to 100 millimeters of ice on top of it, it was thunderous. I was talking to a buddy of mine who I used to work with at the radio station. This is when we were in Walkley Road. And the transmitter tower for the FM is at Camp Fortune. The AM transmitter is out, I want to say, Manitic Barhaven Way. Anyway, there was a tall, tall tower. The building's no longer there on Walkley Road, but there's a very tall tower that would beam the signals, you know, to both AM and FM transmitters. It was also the backup transmitter. And it was held to the roof of the building by, I want to say, 6 thick steel guy wires. And he recalls being in the building and one of those guy wires that just was caked in ice let go. And the noise that made when it came crashing down to the roof. I wasn't there for that, but that's his memory of that. And I certainly just remember, you know, the hours that we put in at the radio station being a lifeline. And that's just, you know, that's just what we did back in the day. Julie says, I went to Algonquin College for my class that day, only for all my classes to be canceled. Then was called into work. I worked at Loblaws at South Keys, worked with no power as a cashier. I remember we had to stay open, and it was the worst. My wife was telling a story. She used to work for Sears. And she was saying, you know, she would make her way to work every day. They couldn't open. They had no power, but she'd make her way to work every single day because if you actually showed up, you'd get paid. But, like, you'd get up going to work, knowing you weren't going to work, strictly because, well, that's, Satan's Playmate says, we lost power January 5th, 1998. Transformer blew January 6th. Got half power February 21st. Full power was not restored until March 21st. That you even have the dates at the top of your mind. That's amazing. Transpo ran the whole time. Okay. Interesting, Terry. Thank you. For some reason, I seem to recall that they stopped. Maybe I'm confusing that with the OC Transpo strike. Satan's Playmate adds, once I cleared our 500-foot driveway, spent the next few days clearing the roads to the highway. We were all city and municipal workers then, weren't we? Over to Hine, who's watching on Facebook. Thank you. Says, hydro towers were crumpled for miles under the weight of ice. The main feed for Walkley Road substation was obliterated. 60-plus towers fell like a house of cards. Got a phone call, 613-604-6464 from the 519 Kitchener, Waterloo, and area, all the way down to Windsor, I believe the 519 goes. Who's this, please?
It's Lisa from Kitchener.
Lisa, who was 25 when the ice storm hit.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks for doing the math. Right. That's real nice of you. Japers.
It was a good memory of that year. I loved 25.
I wouldn't mind doing 25 over again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I was 25 with an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old living on my own.
Wow.
In a welfare building that had a lot of sides of the buildings were cracked, so you'd get the wind coming through whistling.
Oh, it was deplorable.
It was terrible that we lived there, but we had to live somewhere. And when that storm came, it took everything out, all the lights, all the power, which half the time didn't work anyway, so that didn't matter. The building was filled with cockroaches. And it came in so hard that the snow and everything literally packed and came in to the building. And on day 3, the fire department came in and literally brought us blankets and walked all the way up all the floors and brought us down all the stairs and put us into hotels until we could get family or friends or someone to come and take us in or take us to a Red Cross.
Now, I'm sorry, you're calling from the 519, so that's not local to Ottawa. You were in Ottawa or Gatineau at the time, were you not? Where were you living then?
Now I'm in Kitchener. Like, I lived in Kitchener growing up here.
Yeah.
But I moved out west for 10 years.
When the ice storm hit, though, where were you living?
Here in Kitchener.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize the ice storm had affected that far south. Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Scary times, but we made it through, didn't we?
All the times. Everybody did. Well, not everyone, but most people. But it happened with my building that it froze it. And it sent all the snow and it just like literally froze all the open holes in the building.
Yeah, and you got to sort of think about the structural damage that would happen after that, right? Because once ice gets in there, it starts expanding and cracking things and making things even worse. And is that building still there today?
Well, no, they destroyed it. I heard that the boiler broke and fell and a whole bunch of things happened in the building. The fire department came in, got us all out, and they condemned it.
Well, bad things happen to the best of us after 25 years or so, Lisa. Thank you for the call. I appreciate you having us on today. It's yourcall.ca is the website. You can call in as well, 613-604-6464. Terry remembers Lowell Green and Steve Maley doing remote broadcasts all over Ontario. Yup. Chrissy says, was the Timmies open during that time? Was the Army called in? I was not living in Ottawa at that time, but recall watching the news and thought we are going to get it next in Huntsville, Ontario. In fact, the Army was called in. I was reading an article today that reminded me, Bob Chiarelli was elected mayor or regional council chair. Anyway, he was running the show when the ice storm hit. And yeah, that was one of the tough things is that our local hydro crews could not get to a lot of the hydro towers, et cetera. It was sheer ice everywhere you went. And he was saying, you know, thankfully, once the Army was brought in, they had tanks, et cetera, that they were able to, you know, get driving across the fields, et cetera, to get to the towers and get things restored. You know, when you think about that, how do you get a hydro truck and a crew? You know, like I grew up, you know, near Knoxdale and Green Bank public schools. So we're talking, you know, Green Bank Road area, and there's an entire line of hydro. Well, there's an entire path of hydro lines that run through there, and they go all the way east and all the way west as well. And it was very heavily damaged as well during that tornado. That's the neighborhood I grew up in. But when you look at, you know, areas like that, and I've got it just off Hunt Club Road as well, closer to Bank Street near the Ottawa Hunt Club Golf Course, that's a heck of an area to try and get a truck in So yeah, Army tanks, etc. So yes, indeed, the Army was called in. Kat says, we had a huge barbecue in our driveway and garage along with several neighbors so we could cook up food that would rot if not all brought out food from their house. We sat in lawn chairs and chatted and hoped for the best. Yep, I remember that as well. That's the one benefit to the power going out in winter. If you've got food, you can still stick it in a snowbank, and for a few days anyway, you've got a chance of keeping that around. Hey, the show is brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. Quality auto service maintenance. If you're running fleet vehicles, just drive by 1150 Heron Road. You will see some of the biggest names in Ottawa delivery, etc. Their vehicles are there. Why? They know. They know where their money is best spent and where their vehicles are going to be repaired right and back on the road quickly, efficiently. It's McCarthy Automotive. Family owned and operated, they got so big they are no longer on McCarthy Road, which is where they started. McCarthy Automotive, not on McCarthy Road. No, 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. Ann says, I'm not far from you, John, as I'm in Hunt Club Park, east of Conroy and Hunt Club, between Hunt Club and Johnson. All the power lines are buried here, so the power is rarely out, including during the ice storm. Best kept secret in the world, so I am an advocate for burying power lines since I've been living it. Even during the recent windstorm, it was not out, only for 3 hours, just to enable them to hook up other customers. They had to shut us off. So we were whining about that. It's funny you say that, Ann, because we were living in a different home then, but in South Keys. And yeah, it's exactly the situation there. The hydro lines to that neighborhood run underground, and that's why we weren't affected. A substation here and there, or as they would unhook one thing to hook other things up and whatever else. But we weren't out 33 days. I promise you that. Hines says, virtually every single hydro pole down our road was snapped in half. I mean, that's just so much weight. You know, and it kills me when we go through these storms still to this day. You know, it's one of the things that makes me laugh and scratch my head at the same time. We had a power outage a few weeks ago during some nasty, nasty winds. And there's people on Facebook saying, okay, it's been 3 hours now. Could you get your stuff together and actually get my hydro back? Hello? I mean, how fast can you replace a hydro pole? Like, how long would it take you to replace a light switch in your own home? Right? But you expect these hydro crews to have this repaired and up and running in a matter of minutes for you. People just have no idea the scale of this. And I thought after the ice storm, people would have some sense of understanding. They don't. They don't. Back to Satan's Playmate. A lot of us had CBs, so we were able to check on neighbors. And we had wood stoves as well. Corrections Center had a generator and was supplying hot meals at the Burt's Rapids Community Center. All the poles were down along Highway 43. Exactly. All the poles. It's been 3 hours. Hello? I need to curl my hair. Can you get the power back, please? Enough. People are crazy. Rosé, who apparently enjoys hearing me say her name on the show. Rosé. I'm probably saying it wrong, but that's how I'm saying it. A friend's memory. Pregnant. Her due date, January 5th. Lived in an apartment building where the elevators were not working, praying she did not go into labor. Baby was born on January 6th at the hospital. Ah, there you go. And that baby, as Lisa mentioned, would be, well, 25 years old, so yeah, there you go. my craziest memory, besides just the noise of branches and trees breaking and snapping in half during that event, and besides, you know, just the amount of work that we put in at the radio station as a collective to keep people aware, I remember a gas station in my neck of the woods, so we're talking Hunt Club area, that like that morning, before the ice had really formed on the trees, a bag of salt, you know, for your driveway, they were charging around $2, maybe $2.50 for a bag of salt. Then the ice hit. And later that afternoon, because I thought, oh, this is worse than we thought. I better go fill the car up. And I went, and you know, while I'm here, I might as well grab some salt. They had upped the price to $25. And I was so angry. I of course, I mentioned it to the person working inside, not their fault. They're just doing their job. I know. But, you know, That was 1998. I'm not going to mention the name of the gas station, but I could promise you this. I have not bought one drop of gas from that company since. It's just my own quiet little revolt. But that's when it happened. So I've not bought gas at this gas station or from that company since 1998 because they price gouge. I'm sure the bag of salt was back down to around $3 the next day because a lot of people were angered by it, but I haven't shopped there since. Just found the book about the ice storm, January 1998, says Lori. It's an interesting read, I bet. All kinds of articles on social media and just, you know, surfing the web. But I'm asking, what's your memory of the ice storm? It began this day in 1998. Still time for your call, 613-604-6464. You can find the video link as well at itsyourcall.ca. And don't forget, if you ever miss a show, we upload it as a podcast, and it lives as a video cast as well. Oh, yesterday's was fun because we got into the whole topic of vaccines. The comments on my YouTube channel are hilarious. Oh, some of y'all just can't help yourselves. Like, did you even watch the show? No, but you've got some very specific comments about it. I just laugh, dorks. I mean, listen, I say that, but at least if you're going to comment, at least watch or listen to what it is you're commenting on instead of just the headline or the title of the episode. It's so funny. That's what makes them dorks. Otherwise, if you at least invest the time, happy to have the conversation. That's what the show is about. My search for middle ground. All right. Ein says, I dare someone to change a live electrical outlet in their house. That is 110 volts. The hydro lines outside your house are 6,000 volts. They are live most of the time. Absolutely. But again, it's ridiculous. Every time we have one of these big weather events that results in hydro outages, you see people bitching and whining. Come on, it's been 3 hours. Hello? Yeah, a tornado just ripped through your neighborhood. Houses have been destroyed. Trees, forests are missing. Yeah, but it's been 3 hours. I want to watch Seinfeld. Or whatever. Seinfeld. How old are you, John Milky? That old. Carrie says, we had people coming for a week of training. They arrived from LA and Mexico the day before the freezing rain started. See, that's the kind of thing that they make musicals about, right? I just went and saw Come From Away, which, you know, is a great musical based on some absolutely horrific and tragic events, of course, 9/11, and all these international passengers who, you know, when the world said, every plane in the air, get down to the ground now, they all ended up in Gander. The population of that town was pretty much about 4 or 5 times than it normally is. And these people just, they were treated like gold, and they've still got friendships to this day. But yeah, it's come to Canada, they said. They knew it'd be cold. They didn't realize there'd be ice everywhere. Gas is going down in price tomorrow, says Anne. Take note. I'll believe it when I see it. Anne, anyway, as many are addicted to social media and their phones, how would people react today, says Satan's Playmate. Yeah, well, they'd be blaming vaccines is what they'd be doing. Because apparently that's the thing that's ruining everything. Or Loblaws. Or anyway. Or Trudeau. Sorry to say that all the major disruptions, my wife and I have been out of the country. We were sitting in a bar in Mexico for the ice storm when they reported Kempville. My sons opened our house as a drop-in center. I knew it was bad. And we're down east for the summer power outage. Road trip in the States for the tornadoes. Wonder if it's telling me something, says Eric. Eric, wherever you're going, I want to follow. sounds like you've got good luck to be out of the danger zone. Let's go to Donna in Blossom Park. Thank you so much for texting 613-604-6464. She says, we were out for at least 2 weeks. My daughter was only 7 months old. My husband at the time stayed at the house with the cats, very cold, but was afraid of break-ins and no heat. I went with my daughter to my family in the city. They never lost power. Had a battery-operated radio listening to CFRA. People were complaining about the ongoing updates with Lowell. He was upset. In May 2022, we were out for 5 days. Appreciate you chiming in. Thank you for the texts. That's plural. That was a lot of texts. 613-604-6464. Chrissy says, if ice was $25, how much were batteries? No, it wasn't ice. If I said ice, I apologize. It was salt. It was bags of salt. You know, that you throw in your driveway when it's covered in ice. Did I say ice? I was pretty sure I said salt. I apologize. But that's what was $25, was the bags of salt. Valda, hello, and happy new year. I was a single mom, she says, raising four children, and we were out of power for almost 3 weeks. We lived in the country, and I was so grateful for the well that was in my basement. To have water is everything. I read a great comment today, Valda, about people don't appreciate just how much water it takes to flush a toilet until they need to use snow. Oh, I am such a city boy. I could not possibly imagine having to haul snow into the house, chuck it in the toilet tank, wait for it to melt just so I can flush the toilet. Wow. Craig says, shoot, got busy and missed your show. Craig, you never miss the show. YouTube.com/blasttheradio. Or you can find the podcast as well, available anytime. And on platforms I've never even heard of. If you just go to our website, Craig, you will find the show there. Past episodes as well. It'syourcall.ca. ITSyourcall.ca. Chrissy meant salt. Okay, good. As long as it's you making the mistakes and not me, we're good. All right. God forbid I make a mistake or misspeak. Steven says, I was working during the ice storm, delivering empty refrigerated trailers in the middle of the night to all the little communities where the military were for them to keep food and feed them. It was interesting getting there to them. I bet. See, these are the little stories that people, they just have no appreciation for all these little things that go on. Somebody's got to get these huts to the military. It's one thing for the military to get here. But then all these supplies, et cetera, that need to get to them and from them, and all these things are going on, and hydro crews, and we were calling in crews from Vermont and New York and New Hampshire and points, you know, beyond. And this, you know, is typical when we lose power and we reciprocate it. I mean, just it's quite the production. And people don't see that because we hunker down in our homes. And we want to stay safe. And we don't see all the goings on. We're not part of that coordination. It's remarkable how much is involved. And the fact that they can get power back in even 30 days is frankly astounding. I mean, there's no way. When you see all that is involved, these people, at the end of the day, they're superheroes. I don't know how they do this. Anne adds, it seems to me there was a shortage of salt after the first week during that storm. I think so too. But on that day, I can tell you, they put the price at $25 and I was pissed. I'm still pissed. She says, everyone bought it up quickly, and there was probably some hoarding going on. Absolutely. I probably found some, you know, at regular price and hoarded it. that's probably some of the stuff that's still there at my front door. Donald says, I had my son haul firewood out to the country to family members and friends. Yeah, I bet you there's a lot of that going on. Regarding being late for the show, Craig says that's true. However, as you know, I like to participate live. I hear you, Craig, and I appreciate that. But the next best thing, of course, is the podcast. And I listen, Craig, you're such a great part of all of the shows we've got here on BTR, and I appreciate you very, very much. To Andy, I was busy getting rid of water from the basement sump pump. Drove to Ripon? Why do I not know this? To scavenge a 12-volt pump from a friend's trailer and use a car battery allowed us to get a few hours break from bailing water and sleep. you got to be Tim the Tool Man, right? You're MacGyver all of a sudden. And Craig says, my first son was born just before the ice storm. It sure was interesting. Family with power stepped up and helped us stay warm. There you go. Some memories of the ice storm. It began this day in 1998. And if I never see another one again, I will be A-OK with that. But I do hope I can see you again, maybe tomorrow, here on It's Your Call.